Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Great to be together this evening for an exciting special time. And we welcome folks that are here in the sanctuary and also on Zoom. Glad you could be with us tonight too. And we'll do everything we can to keep you in the loop with the picture and also the sound. So thank you for joining us. Exciting time when we have baptism and communion, and weather doesn't matter. It's nice and dry and warm in here.
Right.
I trust it is where you are. All right, let's pray, let's sing, let's celebrate Jesus. Father in heaven, how grateful we are for you, that you have revealed yourself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we welcome you here tonight in our midst. We don't invite you because we know you're already here. We simply welcome you. And we do pray that we will be very aware of your presence in tangible ways that we can smell and taste and hear and see and feel. Lord Jesus, tonight we celebrate baptism and communion because of you, because of what you accomplished in your lifetime, and what you passed on to us. You showed us the Father. You lived an exemplary life as a model for us. You paid the price for our sin through your suffering and your death. And then you conquered death and the grave through your resurrection. And so we celebrate tonight that we serve a risen Savior. And as we participate in baptism and communion, we're just rejoicing in our hearts that more are coming to you. Holy Spirit, it's your work that draws us. It's your presence in our lives that gives us hope and joy and peace, comfort, encouragement. I pray that we will be very aware of your presence here tonight, and that you will break in and have your way, and that you will show us Father in ways we've never met him before. I thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing.
Good.
Pardon me. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us? Or a prayer concern?
This is Linda. Can you guys all hear me?
I'm sorry. Yeah, we can hear you, Linda.
Well, I just want to say just wanted to say thank you guys for all your prayers for my continued healing as I recover from my car accident on Monday.
Well, we're thankful that there was no more serious injuries than what happened, and we're grateful for that. So that's great news. Janelle, you had something you wanted to share.
Yeah, I would say we announced last week that we needed more participants for getting ahead of the whole session in February. So this week we have two sign up, three that I inquired and I need to follow up with. So that would leave us with space for three more.
Praise the Lord.
We're going to have a lot.
So if you didn't hear that on Zoom, Janelle and I are going to be leading a Getting Ahead and a Just Getting By World Conference, and that is scheduled to start in February. Last week, Janelle announced we needed some participants. She has two signed up and three more applied that she needs to follow up on. And so it looks like we'll have our eight necessary by the 20th of February, 10th of February. It was one of those numbers. So a week from Wednesday. Sounds great. Jeff?
So, barring any other catastrophe, we're looking at 290-something students returning this coming Monday.
Wow.
Okay, so Jeff's looking forward to 290-something students coming into the school tomorrow?
Next Monday.
A week from tomorrow. Okay. All right. And you may or may not have heard about my aunt in Pennsylvania who is not doing well at all in a nursing facility. her children don't expect her to live much longer. She's on morphine now and not eating. She's lost a good bit of weight in the last 2 months. And so if you think of it, her name is Mary Lou Kine, and her children are Lee, Donna, and Tina. So they'll appreciate our prayers. Oh, also, you can pray for them because they're expecting something like 10 to 16 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Jeff.
So, my dad had stroke for Christmas time. He's gone in for a bunch of tests and everything, but everything's come back negative, normal, positive, I guess. He tries to get a heart monitor thing put on because that's the only other thing they can think of to look for. So, hopefully, it's just whatever it was, got to take care of it. Stop looking at something.
Okay. So Jeff's father had another stroke around Christmas time. He's doing well, but following up with some tests for his heart, trusting for a clean report. We have two baptisms tonight and communion to look forward to. Praise the Lord for that. And for those of you that are on Zoom, you're welcome to join us in communion. If you want to grab some supplies, Jesus turned water into wine. And so water or whatever you have and bread, you're welcome to participate via Zoom. Love to have you. Let's pray for these folks that we've named. Take a minute. Something is on your heart that was shared, whether it's getting ahead or one of the people. Be free to lead out in short prayer, and I'll close in a couple minutes.
God, we just thank you for the guardian angel that you placed with Linda the other night as she was traveling. And we just thank you for protecting her and all those others that were involved in the car accident. And we just thank you for your continued blessings.
Yes.
Lord, I praise you for Jeff's dad, and I pray for a miracle for him, that you would continue to heal him, Lord, and let there be a supernatural touch from heaven on his life tonight, Father. We know, God, that all miracles come from you and all good gifts come from you, Lord.
Yes.
We praise you for that, Father. I also pray for safety on the highways, the police and the firemen, all those that are, especially up in Pennsylvania, that is so heavy snow coming down right now, God. I just pray that people would stay home, but more importantly, God, that people would be careful wherever they go. We just lift up these cars on the road tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
God, I pray for Mary Lou that you'll give her peace and comfort right now, and that you will also be with Tina and Donna and me, and pray that they will also feel peaceful and loved by you and drawn to a closer relationship with you.
Yes. Father, I pray for Janelle and I as we lead the Getting Ahead seminar and those who participate. I pray that it will be a meaningful time and a time of change and blessing and prosperity in the lives of those that come to learn. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for hearing the cry of our heart, even if we didn't make it verbally. And thank you for answering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail,
gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessings increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to pass the basket for me tonight?
Amen. Dry bones come alive.
And they did. They started to gravel and shake.
Yes.
Wonderful story. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices tonight. Appreciate it. Let's do a children's story. Anybody interested?
Me.
All right.
Me.
So that you children know and adults can know too, we have a significant number of people with us on Zoom tonight, and more than we've ever had before on a Zoom program, and that's great. I'm sorry the weather kept some of you from being with us. Others, I'm thrilled that you can be with us just because of the event and you're here. So we're on Zoom every Sunday evening, and you're welcome to join us any Sunday evening you care to. So we bless you. Well, children, tonight I'm going to do this children's story from here so the people on Zoom can see me as well as you. And I want you to know you're still the center of attention. And this is your important time. Tonight we've been talking about baptism. And I want to be sure that all of you know what baptism is and how it's done and what's happening and what isn't happening as far as we believe. We believe that baptism is obedient and obedient, an act of obedience to what Jesus has called us to do. Jesus told the disciples just before he left that all authority on heaven and earth was given to him, and that they were going to all the world and preach the gospel and baptize those who believe. And he went on and said more. He promised that he would be with them to the very end of the age. So baptism is something that has been done from the beginning of the Christian, from the beginning of Christianity. In fact, it happened before Christianity started. Maybe it was the very beginning of Christianity. Although I think by definition, Christianity has to start with Christ. It has to start with Jesus. So when we look at the word, the Greek word for baptize is baptizo. And that's a verb. And it's a verb that means to clean something, to cleanse it by completely washing it. And so the thought is that it's immersed in the water, but that it's completely covered in the water and scrubbed and clean. Okay? Now, over the years, the church has used baptism as a way to symbolize our obedience to Christ and our decision to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've recognized that there's sin in my life and I can't solve my sin problem. Only Jesus and his blood can wash me and cleanse me from my sins. So I've asked Jesus to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to cleanse me from my sins. And that was when a person was actually saved. Now, out of obedience to Jesus, they want to make a public statement that says, this is what happened to me. And so they get baptized in public. So we believe that baptism is a symbol of something that's already happened inside my heart, inside my life. There are other churches that believe that the act of baptism is a saving act, that being baptized brings salvation along with doing all the other things the church tells you that you need to do. So this is how baptism started. It starts with John the Baptist. And he was called John the Baptist because he was a baptizer. Okay? In Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And other translations say, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. So this is the story of when Jesus was baptized. And we see that John baptized people in the Jordan River. Now, how did he baptize them in the Jordan River? We have the idea, and it's probably accurate, that he got down into the water waist deep, maybe, and he took people and he completely put them under the water and said words like, I baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins, and lifted them up out of the water. And that makes a lot of sense. But he could have also gone down into the river, gone down into the water, and the people knelt in the water, their heads stayed above water, and he cupped water up out of the river and dumped it on their heads, poured it on their heads. That's a possibility. I think it's probably the first rather than the second. But churches over the times, over the years, have done three ways of baptizing. One is through sprinkling. And in Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 25, God says this. Find verse 25. Here we go. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. So there's an example where cleansing came from sprinkling. Now, sprinkling is generally done by churches that baptize infants. And they just want to get a little bit of water on the infants, and so they don't want to dump them down under the water. They don't want them to take a mouthful of water and drown or have trouble. So they sprinkle water on them, okay? And then immersion comes from what we read in Mark chapter 1, but also in Romans chapter 6, we read this. Verses 1 to 3. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So there, the idea about being buried is the idea of being completely under the water, and being raised is coming up out of the water. And that's what immersion is. And lots of churches practice immersion. Now, I want to talk to you about pouring. In Acts chapter 2, well, we read in Mark John the Baptist said that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And now in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And then he goes on to say what will happen when he pours out the spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, Jesus baptized the believers in the Holy Spirit, and he did it by pouring out the spirit. So Jesus did baptism by pouring. Now, I share all of that so that you have the background of different ways and scriptural support for why baptism can be done those three ways. Our faith is Anabaptist. And as Anabaptists, we use pouring for one main reason. And that is that when the Anabaptists started, they were a group that was breaking off of the government's church, of the state church, and it was against the law to baptize believers. You had to baptize infants. And so the Anabaptists were reading the scripture, and it said, baptize those who believe. And they said, an infant can't believe. And so an infant shouldn't be baptized. You have to be old enough to understand what's going on and then believe in Jesus and then follow him in baptism. And so that was their faith and that was their belief. But they couldn't just go out in public and baptize people because that was against the law. They'd get arrested, they'd get thrown into jail, they'd be killed, they'd be chased from the country. And all these things happened to them later. So the first night, and then their practice from then on, mostly, was that a group of them were together, and they said, let's be baptized. And they were in a house. And so they got a basin of water, and they scooped their hands, and they poured water on each other's heads and baptized each other that way. And because of that history and that tradition, that's the main reason that we use pouring for baptism of people in our church today. And I wanted you to know that. And I have no problem with immersion. I have some issues with sprinkling, certainly if it's an infant, because I'm a believer's baptism person. But I'm happy to talk to anybody that has questions about this, and I'm open to be educated why we need to do it differently. But tonight you'll see that our baptism will be done by pouring, and I believe that's a biblical way and a way that God honors and blesses. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for life in Jesus. And I thank you that you're a God who gives variations, who gives different ways of experiencing life and you, and that you bless us as we do it. I believe that with you, it's faithfulness that matters much more than the form and what it looks like. So I pray for these children that as they grow, they will be faithful to you and they will walk with you and they will choose to follow you in baptism and in life. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for your good attention tonight. We are blessed to have guests with us in the auditorium as well as on Zoom tonight. And Van and Karen Heslop are here with us. And Pastor Van has agreed to preach. And so, brother, will you come and
yes.
share God's word with us tonight? I'll give you this. I put fresh batteries in it this evening, so it won't run out before you do.
Can I preach to midnight?
It's your call.
No, thank you.
That was a granddaughter that said, no, thank you. May I pray for you?
Sure.
Father, thanks so much for this dear brother who loves you with his whole heart And we look forward to the word that you've given him tonight for us. May he be a faithful servant, sharing your truth in love and joy. And may we receive it as it's sent. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I had a song play, Come Alive, because I was working on this sermon for actually a couple years. I haven't preached too long, so it's about this long, so bear with me tonight, but it won't go that long tonight. So. I got praying in my nursing home where I work, and one morning the Lord said, go to room 206. Well, I went to 206, and I just sort of waited. And when I went to the lady, I said, can I help you? She says, you're supposed to pray for me. Well, I said, okay, and I prayed for her, and she starts crying. She goes, this was amazing. I've been praying for 3 days, and you show up and pray for me. Well, then, so over the last couple months during the outbreak and everything, I started praying in the morning. I get there 15 minutes early, do my prayer, my quiet time, and start the coffee for the office staff, and then I go and I pray. And in the last 2 months, I'm honest with you tonight, God has led me to certain rooms, 106, 404, 303, and every time I go, might be fix the television, or it might be make my bed warm, but many times the Lord has had me be at the right time at the bed to have me pray for people. And also in the last 6 months, I've been right there when somebody's getting ready to pass on to heaven, and I get to pray and pray comfort on them as they go to heaven. And that's been a real joy of mine, to be at the right time at the right place. Everybody say that. At the right time at the right place. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our spirits to receive what the Lord has to say tonight. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, Father, that there's freedom in Jesus Christ. There's bondage that comes from living in the past and living according to our lives. There's bondage that comes from doing it my way and being stubborn, hard-headed. But there's freedom tonight in saying, I yield my life. So, Father, teach us tonight. Teach us to be humble. Teach us to be gentle. Teach us to be kind and loving and pure of heart. And we give you praise this night, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I chose the passage tonight, and it's Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. So we're going to be reading a few portions of that tonight, but I don't want to stick with that because I want to have time to speak every heart within our voice tonight to excite us to do the things that God wants us to do tonight. So Ezekiel 37, it's on page 887 in my Bible. And I haven't had this Bible out, but it's a big Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and I like it because a lot of notes in the side, and it helps you to study. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. That's a smart answer when you tell God, God, you know better than I do. And he said unto me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and you will make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is Ezekiel. So I prophesied as I was commanded from the Lord. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe into these slain that they may live. Whew, I feel that. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, as breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up. Everybody say dried up.
Dried up.
You ever been dried up? You ever been down? You ever been depressed? You ever been anxious? You ever been just, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You get all discouraged. We all been that way. We've all been discouraged. But these Israelites, the whole nation was discouraged. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. So that's really for a nation. It'd be like the United States of America. We're all cut up. We're all split up. We're all dry. Or there's no hope. Sometimes you think that when you look at our nation right now, but there's always a better day coming. Amen. And we're not going to get our eyes on the world or the things around us. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, wait a minute, therefore, this is what the 12, right, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back into the land of Israel. He's going to bring them home. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. Then I will open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I've done it, declares the Lord. Oh, that's some good stuff. Now, you can preach a bunch of sermons right from that. But I'm going to start there, and then I'm going to read you an illustration right now, because this is a good illustration. This sort of just popped in my Bible study that I was doing. This is the Vision of Dry Bones. The story is from Gerolamo Savarolia. It was one of the preachers of the 15th century. He preached the Cathedral of Florence in Italy, which contained a magnificent marble statue of the Virgin Mary. At the very start of his ministry there, Savarola noticed an elderly woman who used to come and pray regularly before the statue of the Virgin Mary. One day, he took aside an elderly priest who had been serving in the cathedral for many years, and he said, Priest, look how this devoted woman is. She comes every day to offer prayers to the blessed Mother of Jesus. What a marvelous act of faith. But the elderly priest replied, Do not be deceived by what you see. Many years ago, when the sculptor needed a model to pose for the statue of the Blessed Mother, he hired a beautiful young woman to sit for him. This devout worshiper you see here every day is that young woman. So the young woman that was posing for the picture is now old, and she comes to worship. So this she is the woman. She is worshiping who she used to be. Wow. We cannot rest on past achievements. Amen. It's not what you did 20 years ago. What was the greatest? What are you doing today? Isn't that a good little story? God is not interested on what we used to be or on the externals in our lives. He's interested in our present attitudes, our present lives in Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to bring up 3 points today and bring up a little bit of Israel, bring up a little bit of where we are today, and challenge us all to pray more, to quote the Word of God more, and to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we're not doing His work, then what are we doing? Amen. Only things that will last in this world are what we do for the Lord. Everything else is sinking sand. So I want to talk about renewal, Ezekiel 36, 16 through 38. And I'm not going to read. You've got to read there yourself. And then second, revival. We just read it, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The dry bones came alive. And that was God promising Israel he would bring them back home. He would bring them back to the land, and he'd restore hope and joy and peace to them. And the last place, reunification, Ezekiel 37, 15 through 28. Remember the two sticks? And he wrote Judah, and he wrote Ephraim, and he brought them and showed them the vision was one stick. What a great story. Have you ever been mad at your husband or your wife? You ever been so mad you think, I'm not going to let them sleep with me? You get so mad, you get madder than the hornet. And then, this vision comes, and somebody comes in your house and calls you up and says, you better go back and sleep with them, or you're going to be in trouble. I had somebody call me up one time and said, you're not being very nice to your wife. It was Mike Truitt, a friend up in Delaware. He called me up and said, you've not been very nice to your wife. And boy, I tell you what, that spoke to my heart loud and clear. I said, man, if somebody else knows it, God knows it too. And he does. God knows when you're not very nice. Another time I was real mean to her and I was eating strawberries and my wife prayed I'd get diarrhea. Well, I got diarrhea. So I tell you, better watch out for a praying wife. They can get you in all kinds of situations. So that was just a hidden story there for your goodness. All right. There are three types of Christians I find all over the world. Quiet Christians, don't bother me. Are you quiet? Don't bother me. I'm just a Christian. I don't want anybody to bother me. Well, that's one type of Christian. He's sort of like, I'm just doing my work. I work 9 to 5 and I'm going to take off weekends and I'm not going to bother anybody. Don't bother me. That's the first type of Christian. The second Christian, I'll go to church one day. They have good intentions. What do good intentions lead to? Well, not very good. So the second Christian is always wanting to do better. I talk to people all the time on the phone. Why don't you come to church? Why don't you come over to my house and we'll have a prayer meeting? Well, one day I will. One day I'll stop drinking. Well, that's a big one. One day I'll stop gossiping. We have gossips at my nursing home. Boy, I tell you, don't tell them anything or it'll show up on the next the next room. I'll go to church one day. I'll stop gossiping one day. I'll stop doing this. You can't make enough promises. Amen. So tonight I'm going to challenge us to allow the Holy Spirit. If you have a tongue problem, if your tongue gets you in trouble, ask the Lord to burn it. Ask the Lord to do something on you. Only God can do things that you cannot do at all. And the third type of Christian is a spirit-filled Christian. He's led from the Lord. He's a spirit-led person. That person is always trying his hardest to do what God wants them to do. And you know, if we'll say this tonight, Lord, make me a willing vessel. Use me, Lord. And I can tell you probably 10 or 15 or 20 stories in the nursing home when I prayed him. God told me to go to these people. And this one man was going through a real, real hard time. He was actually getting older, and he was starting to lose his brain, his mind. He was starting to get really, really lack in his understanding. And I sat with him, and I just did this. I laid my hands on his head, and I said, Father, touch my brother tonight. Give him your gentleness and your joy. Amen. And he starts crying, and he said, you know what? That meant so much to me. He said, I'm going to start praying more than I ever have before. And you never know what you can do when you just go to people and help them in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So it's in Ezekiel 37, when this is talking about renewal, God spoke to Ezekiel and said, I am God, and I do not want my name profaned anymore. All the way through Ezekiel, God began to speak to Israel. And why did he have to do that? Because Israel was hard-headed. Israel was stiff-necked. Israel defiled themselves. They had idols built up. They were constantly running around without God and trying to do things by their own. And then one day in Ezekiel 37, God says, I'm God. I don't want my name put with you anymore that you're going to mess up. So God declared to Israel, to Ezekiel, and said, I don't want my name defiled or defamed anymore. And so Israel was dead as a nation, deprived of her land, her king, her temple, unity and restoration seemed hopeless. Ezekiel 37:11. But then God all of a sudden speaks and he breathes the breath of God through through the prophet Ezekiel. And a marvelous thing began to happen. John 4:24. Can anybody quote that? John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a powerful scripture because we're not living in Israel. I've never been to Israel. Have you ever anybody been to Israel? I would love to go one day. Oh, I would love to go one day just to walk where Jesus walked and to go in the River Jordan and to buy one of those trinkets from the bookstore. That would be really fantastic. But God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. When you pray this way, God, teach me, use me, anoint me, wake me up, Lord, show me which way to go. When I was 1972, before I was a born-again Christian, my mom, many of you do not know this story, but she would stay up all night waiting for me to come home. Why did she do that? She was praying for me.
when I came home, most of the time it was between 2 and 3 in the morning. I was a 17-year-old rebellious teenager. And I'd come home, I'd be working at Arby's, we'd go out and have some fun and come home. And my mom would say, man, do you know that God loves you? And do you know that God has a plan for your life? Mom, I don't want to hear that. That happened for at least a year. And so every night when I come home, and then I started doing drugs and alcohol and really getting into a lot of bad things. My mom, she said, what do I smell? Oh, mom, it's just Arby's roast beef or something like that, you know, trying to lie to her. You can lie to a lot of people. You can't lie to your mama. Your mama knows all about you. Mama always going to find out if you stole from the cookie jar. Mama knows what you're going to do. So this, my mom would pray and she would believe God and she began to see in my life and God started telling her things. And then a couple months later, she said, you know, there's sin in your life. No, mom, I don't believe in that. 3 months later, she said, you know, man, the devil's going to try to kill you. And he did. The devil tried to take my life. But mom would stop. You know what? I believe today I'm alive because my mom interceded for me. She prayed for me. She believed in me. And if you have someone in your life that you're praying for, you're believing God for a loved one, don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting God that God can do a miracle in their lives. Because when my mom prayed for me, it was October the 5th, 1973, on Salisbury State Campus in Salisbury, Maryland. I bowed my knee and one of my buddies was going to take his life. And he said, now, why shouldn't I take my life? And I said, because Jesus loves you. The same thing that my mama told me, I told this other boy. And he got saved, I got saved, and the rest is God's story. Isn't that neat how God can save us for our purposes this tonight? It's amazing. Now, we forget, amen? We forget sometimes that God is good. We get busy sometimes and we overshadow ourselves. Well, oh, I'm working 9 jobs. I'm trying to pay the car payment. Sometimes we get lazy. Everybody say lazy.
Lazy.
Sometimes I get lazy and I don't feel like taking the trash out. But God, that's not an excuse. God wants us to grow tonight. We forget, we get busy, we get lazy, we get thirsty. And sometimes it's not for things of God. We get thirsty for sports, ESPN. Sometimes we get thirsty for things of this world. And God says, only thirst for righteousness and for Jesus. Thirst for hunger for righteousness. Lastly, we get tired, we get anxious, and we get annoyed. We get all those things if we don't have Jesus, right? Sometimes you get a little bit irritated at your family. Oh, why do you always do that? Well, I'm just like you, Dad. I got a son over there that I got to watch out because I trained him up. Amen. Praise God. Listen, in verse 24 of John, yet a time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Isn't that good? God's looking for true worshipers, and one day, he says, the true worshipers will worship the Father. Amen. Isn't that good? That is so good. God is so good. Amen. I don't have that much more to go because I want to really pray for something this night. When I started, I had a Bible program called Word Search, and it was very expensive, and I really studied it, and I had all kinds of Bible books in there. Recently, Word Search was bought out by Logos, and now I've got Logos 8, and it's bigger and more. It's like a Cadillac versus a Volkswagen. It's so good, and I was telling Karen that the other month I just got this program to start studying, and she said, I'd rather have you study that program than be on the television like I was for so many months before that. And you know what? Sometimes when you work hard at a nursing home, I'm tired, and I just want to veg. Nobody bother me. I just want to veg. And she knows that. She can tell you many stories about how I vegged in front of the television. But I'm excited to say now that the Bible is coming alive. It's coming alive because a week or so ago, I baptized a couple in our church. I mean, in my nursing home. And the lady says, I want to obey the Lord. She said, I'm a born-again Christian. My son's a born-again Christian. And we want to be baptized. And so, Earl, thank you for sharing that word tonight about baptism. We really need to follow through and be baptized. And if you've never been baptized, it's time. You can go to your pastor and say, I'd like to be baptized. It's a wonderful thing in following through. And this lady says, I want to obey God and follow through in water baptism. I thought that was cool. She said, I'm a born-again Christian. That was neat because she wanted to follow through. It's really neat. Renewal, Ezekiel, revival, and reunification. I really believe tonight our country, the United States of America, needs to be reunified. We have so many people that are split apart. We have so many factions and racial prejudice and so many anti-this and anti-that and protest and this and that. We just need to come together in the name of God and pray for unity and pray for reunification of our country, the United States of America. It's amazing that united means come together of America. I read some history about the Civil War, and they're all about slavery and all about this and all about that. But I did a good study on Abraham Lincoln. He fought a lot of problems trying to get the country reunified. And I'll tell you what, tonight, in our families and in our lives, it's hard to sometimes come up and pray and seek God in this world we're living in for reunification. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, God can unify us. God can bring us together. God can open our eyes. And lastly, here you go. Just got a couple scriptures to read and we'll close. Here we go. Psalm 85, verses 4 through 7 says, "Restore us, O God of salvation. You annul your vexation with us." In other words, you take away your anger with us. Will you be angry against us forever? Will you prolong your anger generation after generation? Will you not revive us that your people might rejoice in you? Show us, O Yahweh, your loyal love and grant us your salvation. Isaiah 40, verses 31, 30 and 31. Even young people will be faint and grow weary, and the young will stumble exhausted. But those who wait for God or wait for Yahweh will renew their strength. They shall grow up, shall go up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love that scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 57, 15. "For thus says the high and lofty one who resides forever and whose name is holy. I reside in a holy and high place and with contrite and the humble of spirit to restore us, O God of salvation, to annul or take away your vexation with us. Will you be angry against us forever? Will you prolong your anger generation after generation? Will you not revive us that you might rejoice in you? Show us, O God, your loyal love and grant us your salvation. Revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite." In Ephesians 2:4, this is one of my favorites from the New Testament, Ephesians 4-7. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, and we being dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together and seated us up in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that he might show us in the coming ages the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus." And lastly, in Revelation, the church of Sardis, this is what the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says: "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, you are dead. Be on the alert and strengthen the remaining things that are about to die, for I have not found your works completed before my God. Therefore, remember how you received and heard, and observe it," and repent means to turn around. "If therefore you are not on the alert, I will come like a thief, and you will never know at what hour I will come against you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not defiled their clothing, and they will walk with me in white because they are worthy. The one who conquers in this way will be dressed in white clothing, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, and I will declare his name before my Father and before his angels." The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen. And lastly, just one of my favorite scriptures. I like this one. Paul said to the Galatian church, "Again, I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, so you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Your past is your past. Amen. And your future is your future. And I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know if we'll get a stimulus check. Doesn't matter if we do or not. We're carrying on in Christ Jesus. Thank God for Dave Ramsey's financial study courses. We can live and study and grow in grace. Amen. And get ready for what God has for us to do. But I want to pray right now, because I really believe that we all can make a challenge to one another. When you wake up tomorrow morning, tomorrow is Monday, February 1st, 2021. It's a brand new day. Down here, it's going to be raining. Where I'm from, it's going to be snowing. So we have to leave tomorrow to drive home in the snow. So you pray for us. But I really believe that somewhere along the way, if you will pray and ask God to use you wherever you go, it might be a 7-Eleven or a Walmart, God will, if you can just wait on him, he'll tell you who to go to. He will tell you who to call on the phone. He will tell you who to pray for. He will tell you who to open your eyes up and your spirit up. There's been times that there's this man I work with, and the Lord told me three times now, give him $20. I said, but Lord, that's my 20. But he said, give him $20, and I gave him $20. This big old black man started crying. He goes, why did you give me $20? I don't even have money to buy food for my wife. And I said, wow, Lord, isn't that amazing? It was nothing to me, but it was a lot to him. When I did it the second time, I gave him $40. And he got really excited. Then at Christmas, I gave him $60. And it, you know, just what, I didn't just do it to give it to him. The Lord told me to give it to him when I gave it to him. And you know what? Just this last week, he said his wife started working again to make up the slack. So it was God used me to help this man in a time as this. That was a blessing. But if I was, oh man, I don't, that's my $20. You ever done that? That's my money. Well, I gave $10 tithe tonight in this church. You know why? Because I want to invest in Pastor Earl and you guys in your church. That I want to see every pew, every seat in this building filled up this spring. Wouldn't that be great? Who are you going to bring in? It's a challenge, isn't it? Who are you going to bring to church? Who are you going to bring to church? Oh, I tell you know, I'm fighting it. Lord, you want me to move to Pocomoke to work with Pastor Earl to be his evangelist? Well, I can fill, well, the Lord can fill up this place, couldn't he? The Lord can fill up this place. Amen. I'd love to see this. I could see this whole house. Karen's been praying for me that God would turn my heart around, you know, come back home. But you know what? God, by his Spirit, and I want to pray for us tonight, that we'd be sensitive to hear what saith the Lord. If God would speak tonight to your heart, for you to call somebody, for you to write a letter to somebody, for you to be sensitive in the Spirit, to give somebody something, maybe make them a card. There's a thousand creative ways that God could speak to our hearts tonight to reach the lost. If we're not doing it, nobody else will. If we're not praying, maybe somebody else won't pray. But if we're praying, then it inspires somebody else to pray. I work with a couple guys that are a little bit rowdy, and their language is not too good. So what the Lord said one time, when they say their cuss word, I'm going to go in there and say, well, thank you, Jesus. And the one guy says, well, I'm not going to cuss so much around you. And they don't. They stop cussing around me because they know, thank you, Jesus. He's the Christian. So thank God. I don't want to hear that mess, do you? I want to hear Jesus' words, you know. And so I just believe that we don't have to take status quo just because somebody else is doing something. We can turn the environment around. When you walk in the building, whoo, they say Jesus is here with his friends. You know, Jesus can be in the midst of us. So Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you would direct us, Lord, to go and do and be the people of God. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And Father, I pray for evangelists in this church. I pray for prophets in this church. I pray for apostles, and I pray for evangelists and missionaries and gifts of hope and help and kindness and giving and mercy, Lord. Lord, let the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the apostleship of the Spirit be in this church. Lord, and we can even prophesy that people will come and identify with the Pocomoke River Church. Lord, because there is a time coming, Lord, that people are not going to know where to go, and they need this church to help them to see their way back home. Lord, there's a lot of loneliness tonight, a lot of depression within our body tonight. But Lord, we ask for you to minister to those tonight, God, that need a touch. Help those, God, that are down. Help those that are without. And Lord, even as my mama prayed for me, Van, God has a plan for your life. It wasn't that much longer when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Now my whole family is coming to Christ. I've got two brothers now that need Jesus. Lord, touch them tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, tonight for prayer. And we can send our prayers to go all over the world, to Russia and China and Africa and India and all the continents, all over the world. People need Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you tonight for you opening our eyes. Peel off the skin of our misunderstanding and let us see what God wants us to see. We thank you for this, Lord. And I pray, God, for every one of our families here tonight, for our Zoom audience. God, I pray for their loved ones. I pray for their jobs. I pray for their cars. I pray, God, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to do great and mighty things. Lord, tonight, teach us. Get us fired up, Lord, to do your will. And to lay hands on the sick, the Bible says, they will recover. Lord, and to see the dead come to life, so to speak, these dry bones, revival in the church. Not a series of meetings, but a spiritual awakening, God, in our hearts. We thank you for this tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Earl.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for a good word.
Thank you.
Yeah, we receive it. All right. Well, we want to transition into baptism. And to do that, I'm going to move this pulpit over.
Okay.
Jeremy, would you be kind enough to reposition the Zoom cameras so that people can see what we're doing. Anna and Josiah and Carla and Jeremy and Pansy, you want to come up and join me? Can come up here a little bit. That's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah, I'd probably like you to stand behind them, between them, kind of hold my book for me. Okay. And maybe we can turn a little bit this way. That's good. Everybody see okay that's here? Hope you can on Zoom. I'll try to stay enough to the side that I not block everybody's path. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Because of Jesus' commandment and promise, we're here today. And for this reason, Josiah and Anna make the covenant of baptism with God and the church. We are witnesses to their choice and companions to it. Baptism is an act of God, of the church, and of the believer. In baptism, God gives us a good conscience and the seal of the Holy Spirit. Baptism enacts what God has done with us, made us dead to sin and alive to Christ. As an act of the church, baptism vouches for the faith of the believer and affirms the work of grace in Josiah and Anna's lives. As an act of the individual, Baptism enacts Josiah and Anna's surrender of the old self and the embrace of a new self born in the image of Christ. So I have some questions for you. Josiah and Anna, do you renounce the evil powers of this world and turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your trust in his grace and love and promise to obey him as your Lord?
Yes.
And do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord,
yes.
And the Holy Spirit, the giver of life?
Yes.
Yes.
And do you accept the word of God as a guide and authority for your life?
Yes.
Are you willing to give and receive counsel in the congregation?
Yes.
Are you ready to participate in the mission of the church?
Yes.
Okay. You want to kneel? On your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, Josiah, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God baptize you with the Holy Spirit from above. Amen. All-powerful God, I ask that you grant Josiah the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Grant him a clean heart, a right spirit, and the joy of salvation. Make Josiah one in whom Christ is seen to live again. And I ask you to release the gifts you gave him in creation and redeemed in Christ. Josiah, may the God of peace sanctify you. Holy, may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and will do it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Josiah, in the name of Christ and his church, I give you my hand and say, rise and walk in the newness of life by the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And as long as you abide in him and in his word, you are Christ's disciple indeed, and shall be acknowledged as a brother in the church.
Amen.
And on the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may God baptize you with the Holy Spirit from above. Amen. All-powerful God, would you grant Anna the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Grant her a clean heart, a right spirit, and the joy of your salvation. Make Anna one in whom Christ is seen to live again. And I ask you to release the gifts you gave her in creation and redeemed in Christ. Anna, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. May your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and will do it. Amen. Anna, in the name of Christ and his church, I give you my hand and I say, rise and walk in newness of life by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And as long as you abide in God's word and you are Christ's disciple indeed and shall be acknowledged as a sister in the church. Somebody close the door. Okay, Anna and Josiah, you have made the good confession of Jesus Christ. You've offered yourselves to be our companion in obeying him. And may God bless you and make you a blessing among us. The peace of Christ be with you. To the congregation, I invite you to affirm this statement with your acknowledgement, your verbal acknowledgement. If you'd like to stand to do that. We welcome you, Josiah and Anna, as a brother and sister in this congregation. We join together as companions seeking the way of Christ, bearing one another's burdens, and sharing our gifts with the world. Amen.
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 Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That was wonderful.
All right. In the midst of COVID, how do you do communion? We've discussed that a little bit. And what I would invite us to do is to make a circle here. You can have as much distance. I mean, we're three family groups here in the building, four, I guess, and then a number of you on Zoom. So I'm comfortable as close as you want to get as many we want to respect. So let's slide some rows of chairs back over here and all come to the front, make a circle. And Zoom, you're in the circle too. And again, welcome to participate. Yeah, if you want to welcome Anna and Josiah on your way up, you're welcome to do that. The Zoom, I think, can still see most of us. Our guests are on, or most, I'm sure. There are a number of places in the Gospels and the Epistles that communion is discussed. This evening, I turn to 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul shares with us, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' When you eat bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So this evening, we're going to pass the bread. And then the cup. And so I'll pass the bread, we'll partake of the bread, hold it until we've all received it, we'll pray for a blessing on it, and then we'll do the same with the cup. You're welcome to just take a paper or the bread, whichever you want.
Just pray to Jerome.
Okay, you can take it too. sorry.
Oh, that was bad.
It started it before I covered it. This bread represents the body of our Lord Jesus. Jeremy, would you ask a blessing?
Yes. Sure. Father, we just thank you for being able to partake here tonight and witness just the start of two beautiful Christian relationships with you, Lord. And we just take this bread and representation of your body that you broke for us on the cross and that you have given to us to get closer to you like the disciples did in upper room.
Amen. Shall we eat together? Same way he took the cup and said, this is a new covenant in my blood poured out for you.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the blood of our Lord Jesus that washes away our sins. It's more than enough, and you're so generous with it. Thank you for fresh life, for new beginnings, for flesh and blood on dry bones, and breath, the breath of your Holy Spirit in us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
No turning back, no turning back.
You're with me. There's still a follow. Lord, and go with me. There's still a follow. Lord, and go with me. Yes, I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
Right. Amen. God bless you with an awesome, awesome weekend life. Thank you so much for joining us on Zoom, and I look forward to hearing from you, meeting you, and embracing you. So God bless you all, especially Josiah and Anna.
Amen. Amen.